want to take the opportunity to thank you. Thank you, Fasifen Kaur, for the way, I'm just making sure that, for the way in which we have modeled Christ-likeness to the community, to the southern rim, yes, good. And beyond, and not just this season, but year in and year out for the way you have done that. Next one, please, Liz, thank you. Oopsie-daisy. All right, that's Dion Oliver and my family. I acknowledge them today because I would not be here were it not for them. My wife, Michelle, who's officer recruitment, Caleb, who's 19, Giselle, who's 17 and just graduated from high school and completed schoolies, and didn't receive a call in the middle of the week at all. So praise God, she's home and all is well, and she's got good stories to tell. And then our youngest, Liam, who's 14. I honor them today because, as I said, I wouldn't be here without them and the blessing I have of being able to come apart. One of the three is in church today. Oh, no, they went last night. With Mom, they went last night to church. So all is well. I thank God for them. I do want to also, thanks, Liz. I want to say thank you also to Debbie and Wes for your leadership in the Southern Rim, particularly also for your leadership your leadership in the disaster area, SAES, not just on the front lines through chaplaincy, both of you, but also here. Because while people are fighting fires, life still has to go on, and so you've balanced that well. So I want to thank you for your leadership of this core and for the way in which you lead this faith community to respond to need here. I want to say thank you to you all, the Fasifen Corps, for the way you have responded. Your generosity, it is known, it is well spoken of, you've modeled how to do it well, how to serve well and effectively, and we are so very thankful. I say that as an outsider, who's an outsider, but also have a bit of insight into how you do things and the relationships that I've built, and so I thank you. I thank you for the way in which you serve. I invite you all to stand with me this morning as we pray a corporate prayer. And I will say the first part, which is the names of Jesus, the names of God. And then I'd like you together, when I invite you to say with me, Lord, hear our prayer, all right? Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, we ask our Lord to cleanse, to sanctify us, and to make us holy. Lord, make it clear that you alone have the ability to cleanse, sanctify, and make us holy. Lord, your work on the cross brought about justification. It was a once and done event. Lord, hear our prayer. Jehovah Jireh, you alone are our provider and you meet all our needs. Lord, hear our prayer. Jehovah Nissi, you are our banner and we raise you up as victor even over the enemy and his attempts to destroy. Lord, hear our prayer. Jehovah Rapha, you are the healer of all that ails. Heal us from the inside out. In the name of Jesus, show us your power. Lord, hear our prayer. Jehovah Shalom, you are our peace, our abundance, our all-sufficiency. And today we ask you to pour out your blessings, your anointing on these, your people. And may the oil drip from the head to the toe, saturating the clothes, covering the bodies of young and old, so that all may know that you heal. Lord, hear our prayer. Jehovah Shammah, you are here with us. Show yourself. Engage with us. reveal yourself in our midst today. We already sense your presence and invite you to move among your image bearers, from image bearer to image bearer, and minister as only you can. Lord, hear our prayers. We intercede today on behalf of our brothers and sisters, and we raise up our arms to hold others as Aaron did for Moses. We think of those who are not here today for different reasons. Some are engaged on the front lines. Some have personal concerns that they are dealing with. But you know all things. You know them. You know them by name. You know even the amount of hairs on their heads. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we ask already that you send more people to engage, even those who may not know you, because you know them and you know what they need. Father, you created everything. Everything and everyone belongs to you. So, Lord, release resources. Release people. Give them openings in their schedules where they might engage, and in engaging, may they encounter you. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. You may be seated. So thank you, Fasifin Salvation Army, for the way you are engaging in this place and impacting the church and the wider community. Your culture of generosity is evident, it is witnessed, and you are a blessing. Pray with me. Almighty and eternal God, we gather in your name and for your glory, and as we gather, we honor you with our hearts and our minds, because you have been so good to us. And we are honored and humbled to be your image bearers. Help us to shine brightly among each other and for the world out there as well. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So some of you may know that I spent 15 years of my life in the U.S., and probably after the third year there was when I met my wife, and that's a different story. Well, story for a different time. However, during my time in the U.S., I was introduced to a TV show. I enjoy TV. My wife will tell you that I do, and my tastes are very eclectic. But while I was there in the 15 years, I was introduced to a TV show called Touched by an Angel. Do any of you know that show? Okay, good. There are a couple of nods, so that's very, very good. I'm glad. Wikipedia says that this show, Touched by an Angel, is an American fantasy drama television series that premiered on September 21st, 1994, and ran for 211 episodes, 9 seasons, until its conclusion, much to my dismay, on April 27, 2003. The series starts Roma Downing, an angel named Monica, and Della Reese as her supervisor called Tess. Throughout the series, Monica is tasked with bringing guidance and messages from God to various people who are at a crossroads in their lives. If you have not seen Touched by an Angel, would you indulge me by looking at the screen just for a few moments? Down the road, every burden, every load, I will rise and I will walk with you.
I will talk with you when the sun's gonna shine. I tell you, I'll walk with you.
No matter where I was, when that music started playing, my attention, I was transfixed. I was ready for the episode. I was ready for Monica to appear and say, God loves you. He knows you. He hears you. I enjoy that show for a number of reasons. And it came to mind as I was reminded about my preaching here at Fassifern, because some of the episodes, they take place in the city, in the city, in urban areas, and some of the episodes are in rural areas, remote areas. And so as I drive in open places, in open spaces, I look along the side of the road and I think I see Andrew. If you know the show, if you don't know the show, check it out, okay? It's good. Or I see Monica standing on the side of the road. Well, you know, Andrew, it may not be your time, but, or Monica, you know, or the white dove, you know, representing the spirit, anywhere, anytime he shows up. Sound familiar? I'm very mindful also that you have been engaged in a series on prayer and about speaking to God. And today, I would like to continue maybe my version of that series. Don't hold me to it that it's exactly the way you went. Allow me some freedom here to go my way, since I didn't get to listen to all what happened before. Because I want to talk to you today about a compelling God, with a compelling good news message that he sends us to share with the world. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, maybe, yes. And God said, let us make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creature. Living creature, everything that creeps on the earth. Do you see there the underlined bit? Just for emphasis, that's my underlining, my emphasis, and let them have dominion. Because we know that everything comes from God. God is the owner. We are the recipient. God is the initiator. We are the respondent. God is the giver. And we are the steward of everything that he has entrusted unto us. And so the next one says, and God created man and woman in his image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. The story begins with a mysterious act of God, creating a perfect world to declare his praise. And then creating his images to govern the world. Faithful stewards bear the image of God in the manner in which they carry that stewardship organically in life, as they care for creation and for each other in the way that you are doing that for each other and for creation and have been doing it since September 7th, almost 20,000 meals. And that's just meals. That's not the conversations. That's not the moments where God breaks through in the ordinary and manifests himself. What a witness. What a witness. We serve a compelling God who provides us with a compelling good news message that we get to share with those we encounter. The call to exercise dominion over all living creatures spells out our relationship to the rest of creation. After all, as followers of Jesus Christ, discipleship defines our relationship with God, with each other, with those outside the church, and with the rest of creation. Stewardship is our response to that relationship. And generosity is the culture that we demonstrate as a community of faith. We serve a compelling God with compelling good news, who provides us with a compelling good news message that we share with the world. When people talk about prayer, sometimes some regard it as an emergency call button that they press when things are dire. God help me, you know, and they may or may not be speaking to God. Or they use prayer as a bargaining tool. Many in our world, in our society, many in our circles have views about prayer similar to that young man. May I say that maybe even for many in part of our faith communities have views about prayer that is not consistent with the Word of God. Because somehow, some way, sometimes prayer or knowing about God or the knowledge, having grown up and having heard these Bible stories, we are comfortable repeating it, sharing it, regurgitating it, retelling it, rehearsing it. And we are content with just that, being able to bring it up. Oh, I remember that verse. Let me give it to them. And we stop short of actually experiencing the power ourselves. And we shortchange ourselves. On numerous occasions in the just as verses, we are told to do what Jesus did. We are to love just as Jesus loved us, to forgive just as Jesus forgave us, and to feed on Jesus just as Jesus lived on the words from his Father. In John 14:12, the bold claim was made by Jesus that we can even do greater things. Whereas Jesus had 4 years on earth to make disciples who could make disciples, by God's grace we have 20, 40, 60 more years of walking as Jesus walked. You see, this notion of stewardship, of stewarding every aspect of our lives to God, is reintroducing us to the life in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall, where Adam and Eve were given dominion over everything that God has created. As a disciple of Jesus, our false notion of ownership, which is the result of the fall, have been replaced with a corrected understanding that God is the owner of everything. I know, we know it. I know, we say it. But what does it really mean that God owns everything? Even the number of times my heart beats today, it's a gift. Even the number of breaths I take today, it's a gift from God. This fundamental level of discipleship is enabled only through the Holy Spirit. Discipleship includes our worship, our Bible study, our prayer, our service, evangelism, and our joyous acts of people who can do nothing less. For stewardship is our response to God for all that He has done and given to us. In Matthew 5, the scripture passage that Michelle read for us earlier, we call it the Beatitudes. And it doesn't mean a wish or just a blessing that we invoke, but it actually describes a reality, a different reality. It's not just nice things. It is 8 descriptions of the people who already possess the kingdom of God. They are not just platitudes. They are not laws or rules, but it is God who is bringing this radical reordering of life, and Jesus is introducing that to us of a way, a different way of engaging in the world, announcing that new reality. It is, when we think of it that way, it is shocking. It is inspiring. It is even disturbing. Brian Zand says it this way. Would you listen? Blessed are those who are poor at being spiritual, for the kingdom of heaven is well suited for ordinary people. Blessed are the depressed who mourn and grieve, for they create space to encounter comfort from another. Blessed are the gentle and trusting, who are not grasping or clutching, for God will personally guarantee their share when heaven comes to earth. Blessed are those who ache for the world to be made right. For them, the government of God is a dream come true. Blessed are those who give mercy, for they will get it back when they need it most. Blessed are those who have a clean window in their soul, for they will perceive God when and where others don't. Blessed are the bridge builders in a war-torn world, for they are God's children working in the family business. Blessed are those who are mocked and misunderstood for the right reasons, for the kingdom of heaven comes to earth amid such persecutions. What a message. Can you think of anyone who would not benefit from hearing that message? We serve a compelling God with a compelling good news message for all. And in the midst of disasters, and in the midst of smoldering ruins, He calls us to enter in. He invites us to enter in. For we are the sent ones. God did not just tell us that He loves us. He sent His Son so that we could see and experience His love. John 2:22. Jesus constantly modeled and affirmed His sentness. His life demonstrated intentional, loving relationships and missional community. The local church, the Pasiphaean church, exists as God's chosen vehicle for helping believers make disciples. Can I encourage you that we keep some internal track for ourselves of, yes, almost 20,000 meals since September 7th. Maybe let us keep track of maybe the faith conversations that we are having and the encounters that individuals are having with God. And maybe, I wonder what the number of disciples would be because of this. A reorienting, and maybe an addition of other components, other criteria. That matters in the kingdom too. At the heart of Christ's intentional process with his disciples is the cultivation of a sense of sentness. Jesus himself operated out of a profound sense that the Father had sent him into the world and into each encounter and circumstance of his life. In John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." We are image bearers of a compelling God who sends us with a relevant, compelling, and desperately needed message of good news for all people, a message that transforms lives, a message that is relevant today. So you may not be Monica or Tess.
Excuse me.
Neither am I. Even though I look good. Right? We may not be those characters, but we are image bearers. May we never lose sight of that. And whatever space we enter, whatever conversation we engage in, may his truth, his word, his message be the overarching theme in the way we engage with him up, with those within the community, those outside of the community, and the rest of creation, which is groaning. Would you pray with me? Almighty and eternal God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, yes, that is our prayer. May each of us find our part and continue to do our part in ushering in your kingdom. Not in the future, but in this present moment, right here on earth, even while embers are smoldering, even while fires and emergency response personnel and volunteers are working tirelessly, God, send us, send more, send your healing rain. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.